the Bible talks about the fact, you know, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the difference, of course, in what we believe in all other so-called religions. But we don't have a religion. We've got life. We're not out promoting the Christian religion. Jesus didn't come to start a Christian religion. Thank God we're not out preaching a Christian religion. Can you say amen? We're out preaching the life of God that's available through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. When the disciples were let go by the angel, you know, they locked up all the apostles. And when they were let go, the angel said, go stand in the temple and preach all the words of this life. He called the message of the gospel this life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting what?
Life.
Everlasting life. The Zoe kind of life. The Zoe kind of life. The God kind of life. A new principle of life. The everlasting life and nature of Almighty God. And then Jesus said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have what?
Life.
Might have what?
Life.
Oh, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. More what?
Abundantly.
I don't know of anybody in the world that doesn't want abundant life. All the drinkers, the gamblers, the glue sniffers, and the snuff dippers and the drug takers and the harlots and the whoremongers, all these people out doing all these terrible things, they're just trying to fill up a hole inside of them, that unsatisfied feeling on the inside where God belongs. And that's the reason I never get excited, you know, about what people do wrong that I don't agree with. I just sat on a plane the other day with a fellow. He's drinking his beer, you know, and I was just learning all about him, you know. And then he said he was working in computers. And something clicked on the inside of me. I didn't want to preach to him, see. I wanted to witness to him. And I said, you know, computers. I began to talk to him about what computers would do and about the big computer over there, you know, in Brussels, and about the numbers game of today and everybody getting on a number. I said, have you ever read the book of Revelation about, you know, the computers that God, that's going to be in existence then, the mark of the beast and everything, you know? And you know, he got real sober. He shook that can of beer, you know, and he said, is that so? Is that so? Well, you see, I began to talk to him about the life of God. Why should I condemn him? He's only trying to satisfy that longing in his heart. These compulsive gamblers, these what we'd call wicked sinners, to me, I have compassion because I see them as searchers, searching for the something that's missing in their life. And I'll tell you what it is. It's not religion. It's not the need to go join some church or turn over a new leaf and try to live a certain kind of a life. They are searching for God and don't know it. Only Jesus can satisfy the longing that you have in your heart. And I don't make any, I have no desire to condemn anybody for anything they do of what we'd call wrong, because I know that that's only a sign they're searching. But thank God Jesus is out of the grave. I've been over there. The grave is empty. It's empty. I'll tell you, he is alive. And all the other religious leaders, so-called, in the world are dead. I mean, they're dead. They're D-E-D, dead. They're just dead, dead, dead. They're not alive. They may have good teachings. They may have good moral things that they could teach humanity, you know, but they are dead. And the difference between them and Jesus is Jesus came out of the grave and is alive from the dead. He is alive. Now, he is the only human being, and I say that guardedly because he's the Son of God, but a perfect human being. The only human body that's ever been raised from the dead to never die again is the Lord Jesus Christ. His human body is like our human body will be someday. Not limited to time and space. Everlasting, never to die again, forever and ever and ever. He is the first fruits from the dead. And Peter says here in the first chapter in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope by the what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Well, he talks about what the resurrection means. Well, in the book of Ephesians, you know, the epistles describe the effect of the resurrection on us. I'm glad for the hope of the resurrection. You know, when I die and I'll go on to be with the Lord and the Lord will raise my body, I'm glad for that. Oh, thank God, I know all the graveyards. If Jesus came back today, all the graveyards would be like plowed fields. And everybody that died in Christ, their body would rise up out of that grave, be joined to their spirit forever and ever. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that when I die, I'll just keep on living. You know, my body dies, but I'll keep on living. But I want you to know that the resurrection of Jesus has an effect upon us in this life. Right now, you don't have to drag through life just barely making it, you know, and just barely getting along, defeated 9/10 of the time. No. Thank God in our human body, we now, right now, have the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. We have that life now. Not going to have it. We have it right now. Now, this talks about one of the prayers that Paul prayed by the Holy Ghost for the church at Ephesus. And it's really a prayer for all the body of Christ. These prayers are for us today. And many of you prayed it many times. I have. Paul said in verse 16, he said, I cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now let me pause. You know, I want to preach along on this too, until I get down to where it talks about the resurrection. He said, I pray that you'll have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Holy Ghost is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We ought to learn to live in the light of that spirit of wisdom and revelation. My spirit is in touch with, is surrounded and filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in touch with all knowledge everywhere. I wonder, do you dare believe that? That if you'll get out of your mind and get down in your spirit, in the Holy Spirit, that you have access to all knowledge. And I've learned, now this is going to blow your mind, you're going to think, Brother O'Shea's way out in left field someplace. Well, you know, left field's not a bad place to be. Are you listening to me? You know, I learned to consult my spirit and just send from my mind orders down to my spirit. And then I just forget. I know my spirit will, you know, get in touch with the Holy Ghost who's down in there with me, and He's in touch with God the Father and the Lord Jesus, and whatever I need, He'll bring up. The other day, I couldn't think of of some particular bit of knowledge that I needed. And I said with my carnal mind, right down here, right here in my carnal mind, I just said, I want that knowledge. I need that. I cannot think of that. How many of you have ever tried to think of something, you know, a long time ago and you just forgotten and put up your hand? You see how many truthful people we got here? I mean, it was far away from my natural knowledge, but I sent an order down. I said, I want my inner man to find that knowledge with the help of the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to forget it. Send it up when you get it. You say, you talk like that? Yeah, I do. That's my carnal mind talking to my inward man. And God is my record, Travis. You awake back there? You are? God is my record. Is my witness, and this is the record that I give to you. I sent that order down, Brother Narvel. I said, I want that. I want my spirit man to find out that bit of knowledge for me. In a little while, I felt a bump, bump, and I almost got it. I said, oh, you know how you feel when you almost think of something? How many of you know what I mean? You just almost got it, but it slipped away. Well, now, if you tense up then and say, oh, let me see now. What was it? What was it? Oh, you just lose. You might as well forget it. You're not going to remember anything. So I said, I hear you bumping. I hear you. I didn't get it that time. Let it bump again. She is going, p-tung, p-tung. My spirit was sending it up there, but my brain was so callous, you know, and insensitive. I said, I didn't get it. Do it. And I heard it. It came up. I said, oh, I nearly got it. I said, just one more time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Just came right up. Thong, thong. And you know, I've learned, see, just to relax. Don't get tense. I said, oh, I'm glad my spirit by the Holy Ghost is working for me. And so I said, I just forget. I know it'll come up in time. I know it'll come up. I just relax. And you know, directly just whoosh, shot right up in my mind. I had it just clear as a bell. You know, that's wonderful when you're in touch with the Holy Ghost and he can search out and find anything you really need for God, from God. Well, go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap, not me. He is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I was going someplace one day, and the Lord knew I was sincere, and I was just driving down in a neighborhood, going to a certain place, and I was praying in tongues and carrying on, you know, and you know how you'll just drive right past someplace. And I drove about a half a block, and my spirit man sent a message up, you just passed it, dummy. He didn't say dummy like Norval here. But he said, you just passed it. It's wonderful to have the spirit of wisdom. And, you know, I had some friends just lost a whole lot of money. I mean, they lost several millions of dollars by investing in something, you know. And they had come to me and asked, you know, they knew that, you know, we had church funds here and other things. Wanted to know, you know, if we were interested, you know, in making a killing. Well, you know, I'm interested in making a killing if it's legal and right and you don't have any checks, you know. I'm not against, you know, putting your money where it'll do some good. But when I got to thinking about it, I got some way down in here just began to say, no, 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 no. Well, I tell you, you better learn to listen to that no, 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 no. And, that thing collapsed. I mean, it collapsed. I saw it on national television. It collapsed. They lost millions and millions and millions of dollars. And you know, when I called my friend and I said, you know, I had a real check on that thing. I said, that's the reason I didn't do anything. He said, I wish you'd have told me. Well, you got the same Holy Ghost I've got. We need to train our spirits. Are y'all out there? Do you know that your spirit will tell you where your children are? Sorry about that, kids. Yeah, one time, one of my children, the Holy Ghost said to me, they're out doing so-and-so, doing that. It described the whole thing, just knowledge. I never did ask for it, just came right up. That's a fearsome thing to live in a generation where parents have that kind of knowledge. Yeah, just the Holy Ghost just volunteered to my spirit, and my spirit told my mind. Oh, thank God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will tell you in your spirit how to conduct business, what to do, what not to do, how to raise your family. If you'll learn, train yourself to listen. Well, he is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He said, I pray that he'll give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now notice, and talking about the resurrection now, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward who? Toward who? Toward us as believers. Say, I'm a believer. Say it out loud. Say it again.
I
want this section to say it right here, out loud.
I'm a believer.
This section.
I'm a believer.
You're weak. Say it again.
I'm a believer.
All you folks.
I'm a believer.
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 Everybody.
I'm a
Say it again.
I'm a believer.
Learn to say that instead of identifying with some denomination. Now, I'm for all denominations. Thank God for the Baptists and their message on salvation. Thank God for the Methodists and their wonderful message, you know, on holiness and things that they started out with. And they started out as a real holiness movement. Thank God for the Catholics and their emphasis on certain things. Thank God for the Episcopalians and the Lutherans. And thank God for all denominations that believe in the new birth. They're all good. And we're not against any of them. One denominational name, Johnny, is just as good as another one. There's not any of them that are really scriptural. God never wanted his body divided. There's just one family. Amen. One family. Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Somebody said, well, what church do you go to? What denomination are you? Say, I'm a believer. Everybody say it again.
I'm a believer.
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 Did you know that's a scriptural definition of a Christian? You're a believer. You believe. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in the resurrection. You believe in eternal life. You're a believer. Thank God. Well, now the Bible says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us as believers? There's not any power toward us as doubters. Are you out there? What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us as who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand when in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now look up here just a moment. That same power that was exerted in raising Jesus out of the grave and put him far above all principalities and powers and raised him at the place of honor beside the Father, that same resurrection power is the power that's in us. That's the same power because we're believers. Now this goes on in the second chapter. It says, and you, hath he made alive who were dead? We were dead, but God's made us alive with that resurrection power. And the Bible says in verse 4 there, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You see, when he raised Christ up, he did it actually. But in the mind of God, we're raised up also. We have the same resurrection life of the Lord Jesus. Now, having said that, let's get down to the nitty-gritty and turn over to Ephesians, Philippians, and the book of Colossians. How many of you believe you have the resurrection life in you? Say amen.
Amen.
Say, I have been raised
from the dead
in my spirit. All right, now if you have, this is going to apply to you. And this gets down to where we live. In Colossians chapter 3, what is the first word in the King James?
If.
Say it out loud.
If.
See, now if. If you then be risen with Christ. Well, I am. Thank God I've got resurrection life. Don't you have it? If you do, say, I have. Resurrection life. All right, if you then be risen with Christ, seek everything in the world and forget church and God. Is that what it says? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Oh, thank God. I'll tell you that the stock market crash, my hope is not in the stock market. Seek those things which are where? 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 Oh, I tell you, let's look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank God we look for a city whose builder and maker is God. I like that phrase in the book of Hebrews. Here we have no continuing city. We have no continuing city. I tell you, we're not permanent anywhere here. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Don't set your mind on the things of the earth. You know, the last 3 or 4 months I've backslid and got to watching the news. Bob, I just kind of got hooked, you know, and just sort of keep it up with all of the things. I got into it. Now, don't look at me so bad. I didn't backslide that far. But I mean by that, I just got taken up, you know, with watching everything that's going on in the world, just checking all the news. And, you know, I did it, you know, just see what the devil is doing, you know. I had a good mood, but I noticed the effect on my mind. I don't think we ought to be dummies. I think we ought to, you know, check every once in a while to see which way the, you know, the astronauts are flying and things like that, you know. But I'll tell you, if you get your mind on this wicked world and the program of news today, it'll drive you into depression. No wonder people are having nervous breakdowns. If I didn't have any hope in Christ, I'll tell you, I don't know what I'd do in this world. There is absolutely no hope for this world in the natural. None. No government is stable. No monetary system is stable. There is no hope as far as man is concerned. But thank God I've got my mind set on things above. And I don't care. I said, so how low or high gold goes, the place I'm going, the streets are made out of that stuff. And you know, somebody walked up and gave me that beautiful diamond ring, just stuck it on my finger. Thank you, Brown Walker. I don't want to tell anybody who gave it to me, but... But you know, I appreciate those diamonds. I appreciate that. But I'll tell you, brother, we're going where every gate is made out of one pearl. And where the foundation of that city is made out of precious metal and precious stones. Thank God we're going where we walk on what we call riches today. Hallelujah. I know we have to have a little of it get along down here. As long as we're here, that's all right. It's, you know, but we don't let it handle us. And we need to set our mind on things above. I'll tell you, I like to tell people when I call them on the telephone, I check with heaven today. Jesus is still at the right hand of the Father. The Father is still in control of the universe, and all is well. Thank God. Thank God, thank God. Earl, I tell you, the devil is still defeated. Angels are still attending our way. And the devil still trembles at the very sound of our voice. Hallelujah. If you're risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. Why, the world may tremble on the brink of woe, but I'll tell you, we're looking at a city whose builder and maker is God. I'll tell you, we're going to have a city whose foundations can never be shaken. Amen? Well, do you have enough resurrection life? I'm going to preach a few more minutes. All right, set your affection or mind on things above. Don't get your mind on your problems. I'll tell you, if I thought about Dodie all the time. Hold it on Easter. Please don't turn out the lights. But don't think about your problems. One reason I know Paul was married, he said he had a thorn in the flesh. Well, I ruined myself on Easter. Well, but you know, a lot of people, thank God, quit eating those eggs. You know, a lot of people, y'all stop laughing and listen to me. A lot of people, you know, they do have problems. They do have marital problems. They have husband and wife problems. They have financial problems. But I'll tell you, the danger comes is when you put your mind on that all the time. Put your mind on heavenly things. Put your mind on God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Think about the promise of God to you instead of the problem. The Bible says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, verse 5, it says, now, since you have resurrection life, mortify. You know what that old English word mortify means? It means put to death. Everybody say put to death. Now, it didn't say they'll die a natural death. You're going to have to kill them. You're going to have to kill these things, in the motions in your body. Now, you have a new nature. They're not in your spirit, but they're in your flesh, in your carnal mind. And they will not die a natural death. You're going to have to kill them. Say, I'm going to have to kill them. You want to find out what you're going to have to kill? Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. No, they won't die by themselves. You're going to have to take authority in the new spirit man over the outward carnal man and put to death. If you don't put them to death, they'll linger. Now listen, what are you to put to death? Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, that's sexual impurity. Now, many times sitting right here, and I've married them. The people sitting here living, Doris, right here, sitting here in a congregation, living together, not married. And we don't condemn them. We don't condemn them because maybe they don't know any difference. Maybe they haven't been saved yet. Maybe they just got saved. But we teach them how that they ought not to live that way. They ought to either get married or what do you call it, split? That's heavy, man. I want to be up to date, Kathy. Heavy man, heavy. Split! And they slung my watch off. No, put to death fornication. You know, there's such promiscuousness, such, freedom. People, that's the reason I don't encourage men to hug women around here and women to hug men, because we ought to be very careful about touching other people's bodies. And I know, old friends, and occasionally it's all right, when you greet people from overseas and so forth, and just, but we ought to be very careful. We ought to put to death fornication. No, it's not all right for you young folks to be immoral before you get married. You ought to save yourself to marriage. And I wouldn't have any respect for anybody that wanted an immoral act. I'll tell you, I just wouldn't have anything. I'll tell you this, girls and boys. When they get ready to marry, they're going to find somebody that didn't live loose. They're going to find somebody that's pure. So take care of yourself. No, don't allow that. Put to death fornication. Uncleanness. That's involved in just all sorts of impurities. You've got to put that to death. Inordinate affection. Evil desire, covetousness, for which things like the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. You're not a child of disobedience, you're a child of God. In which you also walked in them sometime when you lived in them, but now. Everybody say, but now. But now. Aren't you glad for but now? But now, put off. They won't fall off. Everybody say, put off. You got to put them off. Put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Quit lying to one another. I tell you, people with resurrection life, put those things off. And it says, put on the new man. Put on the new man. You've got to let the new man dominate. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. This is the resurrection life. Holy and beloved, a heart of mercy. Everybody say mercy. Kindness. You know, I told Odie I was going to start trying to be a gentleman. Nell, I repeat. But you know, God expects me to be as kind to Odie as I am to Chinesi here. Or is Kathy here. Or is Vi here. Or anybody else. And God expects her to be as kind to me. After all, she's a Christian and I'm a Christian. But you know, many times, Neil, we don't apply that to husband and wife relationship. We just think we can just mouth off and be ugly and mean to each other. After all, we're just husband and wife. We don't look at each other as believers. Well, they belong to Jesus just as much as anybody else. So I've asked the Lord to help me to be as kind and gentle to Dodie as I would be to anybody else. Now, I haven't gotten there yesterday, but I'm working on it. And I'm praying the same prayer for you. Lord, it's hard. Put on a heart of mercy. Everybody say mercy. Kindness. Humbleness. Meekness. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. Now, be quiet. I'm going to read this. If anybody have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, forgive them. Don't stay mad. And then, above all, everybody say above all. Put on love. Say put on love. Love above everything else, put on love. And then it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also called in one body, be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's resurrection life. Are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Let's lift our hands and praise God for it. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you, dear Father, for the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus. We praise you, our Father. 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 Now, would you bow your heads in prayer? Please do not get up and leave the building. You'll be gone from here in a matter of 10 minutes at the most. Just stay right where you are. This is a holy moment. How many of you know that you're born again, ready for heaven, living right? Lift your hand high. Thank you. Put down your hand. Now pray. While the men help me look over this audience, how many of you say, Brother Osteen, I don't have peace in my heart today. I'm not right with God today. I need prayer. I'm not living for God. If I died right now, I wouldn't be ready to meet the Lord. Pray for me. Lift your hand up high for prayer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Anyone else? Another one over here. Another one here. Another one here. Anyone else? I'm not right for God. Another one here. I'm not right with God. Pray for me. I know it. God knows it. There's another one. Don't go out without peace. I see your hands. You can put them down now. Anyone else? You haven't lifted your hand yet. There's another one. I don't have peace. Pray for me. Lift your hand up high. There's another one. Thank you. I see those hands. I see that hand. I'm going to look one more time over the audience. Lift your hand up high. Anyone else? There's another. Some more. There's another and another. Would all you people who lifted your hand for prayer stand up tall right where you are? Just stand up right where you are and everyone look this direction. Don't sit down. Just stand up where you are. I'm going to see where you are. Then we're going to pray for you. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Many of you. Anyone else want to stand with them? If you lifted your hand or if you didn't, stand up right where you are. Here's another one right here. Anyone else want to get in on this? Stand up quickly. All right. If you folks standing will repent, that is, turn your back on your old life, slam the door and lock the door, and say, I'll never go through that door again. If you will open your heart and accept Jesus into your heart as your Savior, I want you to show Him by an act. I want you to walk right down here and stand around this altar. Give them a hand clap while they come. Walk right down here. Come right down here. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen, amen. Well, give them a good hand clap. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Here comes some more. Give them a good hand clap. Look at them streaming down the aisle. Wonderful. Wonderful. Here comes some more. Let's clap. Let's clap for them. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. Oh, I'm so glad you came. Thank God you've come. Not to turn over a new leaf and try to live the Christian life, no. You're not going to try to live the Christian life. You're going to become a Christian, accepting Jesus. And I got good news for you. Every sin you've ever committed will be wiped away forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you'll never have to face it again forever. The Lord Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. Now I'm going to give you a verse of scripture. I want you to say it with the audience. Say it out loud. Whosoever. Now that includes you, doesn't it? All right, say it again. Whosoever. Shall call upon the name of the Lord. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. See, that's what you want. You want to be saved. You don't want to get religion. You don't want to just try to do something. You want to get saved. Well, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, make this confession with your mouth with the audience. Say, today,
today,
I am going to call upon the name of the Lord. And according to God's word that I just quoted, God's going to save me. I believe that. When I call, He's going to save me because He can't lie. All right. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. If anybody hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. Are you willing to open the door today? Put up one hand if you are. Leave it up there. Leave it up there. Bow your heads in prayer now. Pray this prayer with your hand in the air. Pray this prayer with the audience. Oh God, I know without Jesus, I'm lost. Without Jesus, I'll die and go to hell. But I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. I want the power of the devil broken over my life. I want to become a new creature. I want to be born again. So I turn away from my old life and all it stands for. I shut the door. I lock the door. I throw the key away. I'm never going back. Oh, Jesus, I believe you died for me. You bore my sins. You were buried. You went to hell for me. But thank God you arose. You're alive. And I ask you today, come into my heart and save me. I accept you as my personal Savior. I confess you as my Lord. And I believe that you are now in my heart. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. I belong to God. I'll never be the same. My sins are gone. My past is gone. I'm a new creature. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. I am in Christ. I am saved. Not because I feel like it, but because God says it. I am saved. I am saved. I'm a believer. I'm not trying to be saved. I am saved. I'm saved now. All right, look up here, please. Hello there, saved people. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God you're saved. Well, those tears are precious. All right. I want you to turn to the person right behind you and say, Jesus is my Lord. Turn around and tell them. Give them a hand clap. All right. Let's count them. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Thirty people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to give you a little booklet now and have a quick prayer with you. And you won't be back there long. Your friends will wait. So follow this man right here. Right there. Just go right out that door. And we're not going to keep you long. We're not going to kidnap you. You're all right. You're safe. Praise the Lord. All right. Everybody, if you will, please, let's stand together. Don't rush out now. Let's have a decent, orderly dismissal. Praise God. Are you glad you came today?
Amen.
Say, I didn't ask you. Did you enjoy this message?
Amen.
Did you get some good out of it?
Amen.
You didn't say amen very loud.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a hand clap for the word.
Amen.